Thank you to this week's sponsor, TNG Coaching. TNG Coaching's vision is to teach values through activity and experience, to guide creativity, instill confidence, champion self-worth, and celebrate identity. This journey begins by reflecting on our own performance, by collecting our thoughts and feelings on paper. Both positive and negative, we begin to discern ways to respond to challenges. Opening a personal dialogue and sharing concerns has been proven to create deeper bonds with peers. Journaling how these relationships evolve can help assign roles and build the support structure every team needs to function effectively. When complete, your journal will stand as a lasting reminder of your commitment to your cause and your ambition for personal and professional growth. You can find the Coach's Journal on Amazon through the link or go to TNG.coach for more information.
Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we have a passionate, inspiring Ivy teacher here with us today, Nico Lumen. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining, Nico. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great, Levy. Thanks for having me. It is a pleasure to connect with a wider audience and a global audience as yeah. We are global teachers.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited that you agreed because, you know, I've asked almost all of our PYP chat moderators if they come on because we've worked and we message almost daily about providing some kind of like community or network together on Twitter. So I was so happy that you agreed to come and join and chat today.
It's wonderful because, I mean, sometimes you forget that we actually haven't met.
Yes, I know. It is a little weird.
So it's such a wonderful thing. What the remote learning and teaching has allowed us to do now is to take over another set of tools that yep. can authentically connect us across the oceans.
Yes, I will never forget when my friend Tanya and I met in Beijing, and we met at a lobby like that was a meeting point for us, and we just ran and gave each other a hug. And it was the first time we ever met, but because of Twitter, it was like we were best friends for a very long time.
Yeah, it's really funny how those first moments you go up and say like I've been stalking you for years. And now I finally.
It is a little bit like that. That is for sure. So Nico, for our listeners out there in the global world, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Nico Lumen. I'm a true third culture kid. And that's why I'm an international teacher, I guess. But my dad's from Tucson, Arizona. My mom's from Helsinki, Finland. And I got to live in both countries and enjoy a multicultural home. And I became a teacher in, oh, gosh, a long time ago, 1999. I started teaching, and then 2004, I started hearing about this thing called the PYP, mm-hmm. and I was like intrigued. I was, oh, that sounds really interesting. It was very similar to what I had been doing when I got my bachelor's in education, and it was really, it piqued my interest. And I was lucky enough to join a startup. And so we built the whole program from the ground up. There was nothing
nice.
And we built it up, and it was so hard. We were the knowledgeable ones because we had read Making the PYP Happen. And that's yeah. not being knowledgeable at all, because it was just reading the documentation. And then by 2008, the principal asked me to become the PYP coordinator. I was really lucky. The school was sending me to every summer. I was able to do a workshop and really draw from those workshop leaders. I remember 2008, I went to the International School in Munich, and I did the teacher as a professional inquirer. Mm-hmm. And that workshop changed how I that was my first kind of glimpse of agency. Because then I realized that, yes, I am a professional inquirer. It's okay that I'm not done. I don't have to have all the answers.
Yes.
I can inquire into them. And that the process and the journey is more important, really, because we are on that process and journey all the time. Because at the end of the day, a successful inquiry will have more questions in the end than answers.
Yep.
Just new questions, new interest, and that what keeps the drive. And so from there on, then 2011, we moved with my family to, we went to China, stayed there for 3 years. And that was another eye-opener again.
Yeah, I bet it was.
It was really a wonderful time. We went to a small Chinese town, only 10 million people.
Only 10 million.
Only 10 million, yeah. And stayed there for 3 years, and then went to the Thailand, to Bangkok, the KIS International School,
yeah,
which is a wonderful school. I'm happy to plug them up every single time when I talk about them. And a wonderful, wonderful size. It's a mid-sized school, it's small enough that you can know all the teachers, you can know all the students, really a wonderful place to be and grow. And then now I'm in a small school here in Germany, and being the PYP coordinator, but mainly I do, where I really enjoy is that I teach grade four this year. I've done grade five and exhibition for a couple of years, and now I'm with grade fours and having a time of my life.
That's so exciting, Nico.
While I was in Bangkok, I also then became a workshop leader, mm-hmm. And a visiting team member. And so that was kind of my next step up into understanding the PYP a bit more and a bit more in depth.
So, Nico, it sounds like your journey is not even... It sounds like your journey is just starting, because you can list it and you're very excited and you're like, yeah, we were here, now we're here. Who knows where we're going to be next? And it's just very, exactly. it's very exciting. And, you know, all these roles and hats you've had, especially being a teacher and a coordinator right now, what are some struggles you're finding with that?
Oh, time.
Yeah. Time. And how are you combating that struggle?
I am a big picture person, and I am, I get excited really easily. And if you throw me a bone, I start to innovate, I start to create, but I'm really bad at seeing things through.
Okay.
That's my weakness. And that's where I need to come up with strategies. That's where I read guidebooks and I get really again, because I'm a big picture person, I get excited about things, so then I take this is the right way to do it, and so that's me. I try things, I make them into case studies, and that gets me to the end. But with time and time management, and it's about team building. So it's about really having, so within my current situation, there is no time. Otherwise I would stay at school till late, too late, and would not be able to spend time with my family. What we have to do is we have to work as a team. And we have to be really pro, like we're not reactive. We need to be making sure that we're addressing things before they happen. And it's about, it's a two-way street. So whenever there is a moment, we need to use it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it also means that we are really direct and say, hey, today there is no way, I'm too tired. Let's focus on mental health and let's go for a coffee and cake. And then, thank goodness, we're in Bavaria and there's always coffee and cake.
That sounds such a dream to have coffee and cake and then talk shop about education with lovely educators around everywhere. That's so much fun. It's one of my favorite pastimes here is getting coffee with my different colleagues and just seeing what we talk about. And it's just so much. And I can totally relate being the excitable teacher, Nico. I'm excited about every new opportunity, every new book, and I never have enough time. So, Nico, with all that excitement, what are you excited about doing right now?
Right now, there are two things. I was really lucky. I got a new colleague this year. And when you get a new colleague, this is exactly what happens. You start, you know, you sit down, you talk about, you learn, you build that relationship, a professional relationship. And you go like, oh, I wasn't thinking it about that way. Oh, that's really interesting. Tell me more. And so when that happens, it affects you as a profession. And for me, it really is about that me as a teacher, we keep defining and redefining what is the role of a teacher. And especially as a primary years program teacher, what is my role? And with the enhancements, it really kind of took us. So with the whole agency part, what is my role as a classroom homeroom teacher? And right now, I'm really interested in a whole concept. Side note, last year I was teaching MYP design as well. So the whole design thinking and the design cycle and how it fits into with inquiry and mm-hmm. how inquiry can be a guided but open in different stages. That has piqued my interest into, so as a teacher, as a primary years program teacher, my really biggest aha for this year has been that we are designers of learning. And it's about designing the physical environment, but also designing the engagement. It is about designing provocations and opportunities. It is about designing a schedule where you can have one-on-ones, when you can have small group activities, students designing their own learning environment, choosing their way to move forward, but still have an understanding of where the curriculum is, where are we going. So having that backwards by design element in your planning all the time. But it is to also, how am I ever going to be able to make sure that I know what they know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where they are in their inquiry. So designing all that. So it's so much fun when you flip it that way.
Of course. Yeah. And I just find, you know, when you are looking like you're having fun and when you're excited about an engagement, even if it's not the best engagement, if you can show that you're having fun, you've got the kids involved and they're going to be involved and they're going to think it's the best thing ever. And I just always, you know, my dad was always telling me, like, when I would get nervous when I did a performance or when I had my first day of school or first day of college, he's like, fake it until you make it and no one will be the wiser. And I was like, all right. And so, you know, like, and I always say, people ask, like, how do you try new things in the classroom? Don't you need to practice a couple of times? I'm like, no, I say, I just tell the kids, this is going to be a learning opportunity for everybody. This is a new time I'm going to use this, and we're going to see how it goes. And I'm a learner here with you. I'll never forget when I first used Seesaw. I never used Seesaw before, and they were obviously more of an expert than I was. And I just let them know, you today are the teacher. I would like us to explore Seesaw and how we use it in music. What can we come up with? And it was awesome. And because I was excited about it, they were excited.
Yeah. And it goes into various things. So I'm excited about certain type of literature, mm-hmm. right? I love reading really trashy novels. And I'm proud of it.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Because I'm reading.
Yeah.
Right? And so from the get-go, I always, when we're having deer or an option for, you know, do something, I make really explicitly clear that I am reading and don't you dare come and disturb me.
And do the kids disturb you?
No, because what do they get right away? 3 weeks in the year when it's quiet reading time, guess what happens in my classroom? Everyone is reading.
Nice. That's awesome.
And this is what I figure out as a dad, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm always on my mobile, if I'm always on my device, what is my child going to be doing? They want to be on a device, right?
Yeah.
But if they see that parents are having a physical book in their hand, it becomes a norm.
That is so interesting. You say that, Nico, because I was just reading an article. I want to say it was in New York, and it was about a man with his three children reading books on the subway. And a lady leaned over and said, how do you get your children to read books? And he's like, they're going to model what I show them. So I read books.
Yeah.
And I thought, of course it would be that simple. Of course, something that, like, I remember being in school and we would get like free pizzas every 5 books, and we would get like a sticker chart, and we would get a little prize out of a jar and all that stuff. And I just remember, obviously, the pizza one won me over. I love pizza. I won't lie about that. Yeah. But I just also remember being like thinking in this article being like, wow, what a great example this dad is showing for their kiddos of how to pass time efficiently, effectively, positively.
Yeah. How can you travel around the world without leaving your space?
Exactly. And I thought that was really cool. How interesting for us to connect like that on that. So, Nico, when you're designing these learning opportunities for different students, how are you making sure to reach all of your different learners in the classroom? Because I know within my classroom, there's 20, 24, whatever it is. Everybody wants a different thing. Everybody wants to do something different. How do you work towards that?
All right. So basically, I'm a huge fan of blended learning and flipped classroom and station rotation model.
Okay.
And basically what we do is that the beginning of the week, Monday is kind of like a goal setting, getting ready for learning day. And during Monday, the students are going to be looking at a short-term goal and a long-term goal and kind of like a project that they're going to be leading and taking further. And that usually desirably is connected to the unit of inquiry. Not always, though, but that's another topic. And so once they do that, what we do is that we'll have that within our learning time, there is a teacher-led mini lesson center. And this can be subject-based a skill. So this is our writer's workshop and reader's workshop time and math time. So whenever those are up there, students need to sign up with the teacher-led small group activity. There is a collaborative offline center where they are taking their unit learning further. And then there is an online center, which is either a flipped classroom model where they have a lesson from me and they will go and do that. So, for instance, my math really is all like that. Mm-hmm. And then we basically for math, it's kind of like introduction, exploration, and then summary as a whole class later on. And then a fourth, and this comes after the students are kind of get used to the model. A fourth one is a student-led workshop station. So where students are offering either a skill or anything that the mini lessons have already taught. So mm-hmm. if they feel comfortable, yeah, I know I can help those who are struggling still. And so that's how. So basically then when I've done with my mini lesson for the day, then I have one-on-one conferencing with all of the other students.
Wow. And I'm assuming there's a lot of systems and practicing that goes in about that. Can you talk to us about some of the systems that worked and some of the systems that haven't for those of us who want to try this strategy out?
One of the things, and you can find this on my website, I have a blog at nicoluman.com, is the Musco method that works. So okay. Musco is it's from a business world, kind of like managing your processes. And so it stands for must do, Musco, must do, should do, could do. And then in the adult world is what I won't do. In a student world, that didn't work because
I bet they came with a lot.
Oh, that one of like everything's in won't do. Okay. And then we flipped it over to want to do.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Which is, yeah. So that's the carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. that's the goal.
That, exactly. However, I first started and I started listing must do's. And this was a disaster. Because what I did was I flipped everything to be teacher
oriented,
directed.
Yep.
Huge mistake. Agency inquiry out of the window, and it was like being in a regular old school 1980s, 50s teacher-led, I'm the sage on the stage. And they're like, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this working? And then I realized that, no, the must-do is our essential agreement. Must-do is what are the rules? What are our guidelines when we come into the learning space?
Nice.
So what's the one thing that me as a teacher learner, what do I want to, what is my goal? And my goal is that everyone is learning. Mm-hmm. And once we communicated this, so we don't have any other must-dos, but must-do is that we are following our essential agreement. That's the must-do.
Yeah, and what an easy one to just keep track of. Like, that is, like, if at all cost, this is the one that was important. This is the one.
Where are you learning today?
Exactly.
If anything put aside, can yeah. you tell me what you were learning? Yes. Excellent. You've done your job.
And what a great way to like build that relationship of trust and ownership and really get those students to really like see that, yes, this is important. And now we can move on to like some other stuff, because I've always found like those society norms and those norms of how we interact with others are so important to set the foundation of how we interact with each other in a community. Because if they don't, I just find that it's always just truly chaos, and a lack of a better word.
Yeah. And I think it's also, this was an authentic opportunity to pass down the norms and the values of the school.
Yes.
Because and what then, you know, when you are, when have you the last time explicitly communicated what you value?
right? And also, how and when have you made that actionable? When have you said, what does compassion look like? What does trust and honesty look like?
And how do you connect that with your learner profile?
Exactly. Oh, how exciting. I can't wait to read this blog, Nico. That is going to be so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, Nico. So, Nico, you've got your blog, you've got Twitter, you've got a YouTube channel, you have all these different things out there. Of course, you've got
three YouTube channels.
Three YouTube channels. Nico, I'm a pretty busy person, and how? How do you do that?
As I told you, I'm really, really excitable.
So
also, I had to learn. So I have a 10-year-old.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Now he's going to kill me. He's 11. So a year ago, he got into something that I really want to talk about is he got into Minecraft. Minecraft, for those who don't know, is bigger than life. And if you want, you can do all your teaching and learning, or learning and teaching, inside Minecraft. And I didn't know that. But because my son got into it, and the way that he started to play it, I wasn't really happy about it at first, until I started playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to consume. He became really a consumer of technology, which wasn't ideal. And I was like, okay, here is a growth moment, an inquiry moment for me as a dad, but also me as a PYP teacher. How can I combine what he's good at, what is he excited about, and how can we change that he becomes a creator? What can he do to change that over? And we started making screen share videos. And I didn't realize that that was a thing. And then I opened up YouTube and I went in. And right now, Minecraft-related videos have over 1 billion views last year in YouTube. It's the biggest thing.
Yes, it is.
On YouTube. Now, but there's a lot of content that is really bad. And so what I did not make the mistake of saying that's really bad, don't do that. We started to critically evaluate. Let's watch some of your favorite ones. Why do you like some of them and why don't you like the others? How can you make something that is similar to the ones that you like and not something that you don't like? And then we started making. And now he has his own channel. He posts YouTube videos, and I'm blown away. He just published one the day before, and it's the funniest video ever right now and yes, I'm biased. He is going to exploit the natives. He is going to create a dystopian world on Minecraft with this mod that he got, and it's just like, it's science fiction novels that he's narrating now into the games Minecraft that he's playing.
No, I absolutely agree that Minecraft is incredibly powerful. I had a colleague that was really into Minecraft, and I never paid any attention to it because I didn't play really much video games, but I was on YouTube researching for a song and Minecraft came up, and I was like, okay, what is this? Why is it coming up? And I looked into it and I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, to be able to be so creative and to be such problem solvers and to be like a thinker of how to solve these problems, especially in such a collaborative game, like, whoa. And it was very, it, 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 it was easily one of the most fascinating things I've seen in a very long time, because you could see learning happening in real time amongst people that weren't in the same room. And that threw me for a loop.
Yeah. That's something. Yeah. That's another threat really on that whole idea. Like, why is it so important with COVID happening and being in lockdowns? My son has been able to connect with his friends every day.
Yeah.
Authentically and play. And playing is the purest form of inquiry.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you have a social aspect in it. And so online gaming with your friends in a sandbox game, not first-person shooting. Well, sometimes first-person shooting can be relaxing. But anyway, but with a sandbox game like Minecraft or Roblox, if you're collaborating with someone else, you are doing all the things that you would do in a face-to-face play scenario. But you're just now, and so that's why we have a Discord. That's why he's on voice calls with his friends, and that's why it's taking the whole gaming and learning experience higher. I was really happy that he said that I don't like playing server games right now if I'm not on a voice call with someone.
Aww.
Right?
That's awesome. And, right? and look at that, and look at the importance that connection means to him. Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to just play by himself with a bunch of random people on the server. He wants to be able to connect with somebody and play together to build something.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And so that took me, that was about 2 years ago when this started. And so now I was like, okay, how do I bring Minecraft into the classroom? What do I do? Like, there are so many, like, it is a rabbit hole.
Like,
if you get into Minecraft and as a non-gamer, my first instinct would be to say, no, don't. Get someone who is a gamer and do it for you first. You need a friend. Because otherwise you'll be stumped.
So call a friend.
Definitely. Get someone, and it doesn't have to be a teacher at all. It can be the nerdiest gamer that you know. But because the very first thing is, when you are gamifying your learning, what you have to do is kind of like to really, I have this 30-30-30 idea with it. Before anything can be used for learning, you have to play with it. And I'm sure same is within music if you start thinking about it. Like, you're bringing a new instrument. You can't say, let's use this for learning right away, to learn through with the instrument. First, you have to practice the instrument.
Yeah.
You need to get skills hired up so that you're not engaged, like, with the recorder, like, where do my fingers go?
Or what fingers do I cover? What holes do I cover?
Exactly.
Yes, for sure.
You know, so the same thing with Minecraft. It is like, so where my fingers are on the keyboard so that I can move? How am I using the mouse to move? So, like, all that. So first, they need sandbox time to play with it. Just play. The crucial moment is, how do you then take it from, now we're having fun, social time, fun, playing, and then how we move forward with the learning. And you introduce something called planning. So what do we want to do now that we know how we build? What do we want to build? So you're introducing goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call it goal setting. You just call it, you know, let's plan for a project. Let's have fun. Let's build something that is amazing. You let them build one by one, and everyone makes these little tiny houses, and then it's, you know, and I go, well, that's not really impressive, is it? What if we build together? can we build something together that is faster? And I go, oh, yeah, twice. Like, you know, we can have pairs or three. Okay, let's build something a little faster. And then, like, well, you had an idea of building a two-story house, but you were thinking of a five-story house, and you were thinking a farm, and you guys didn't talk. You didn't have, like, a sketch or an idea, and right now your project's in a jam. What can you do to make sure that everyone knows what your roles are and how you're going to build it? And suddenly, have all the ATLs, their social skills, they have to negotiate and plan and cooperate. Self-management skills, they have to really control their emotions at some points because someone isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And how can you resolve that situation? Research skills, oh, we want to build a pyramid. Well, what size is a pyramid? How can we convert a real-world pyramid into a Minecraft pyramid? How can we put Egyptian art inside our pyramid? How can we bring 3D items from real world inside the Minecraft world? Oh, you don't know? Let's find out, can we? Oh, we can. Excellent. Let's bring our art that we made in art lesson and bring those inside. And so this way, by providing designing opportunities that connect with their learning in the classroom, building them inside this game allows for those who are really interested into the game to relearn, reconnect what they are learning inside the units of inquiry. And then, because what I decided to do is I did not take the education edition because that's more of teacher-led model, which again, sometimes when programmers and corporations take a good product, then they bring on 1950s ideology into teaching.
Yes.
And that's fair because everyone, we think to our own experience of what learning is.
Absolutely.
And they don't know any better. Someone should tell them. And then they can move forward. So I brought a real Minecraft. And so we have our own server. And so they can connect to it whenever.
How amazing. And what an amazing way of showing that community is not just in the classroom, but it's out. It's beyond four walls.
Exactly.
And another way of like bringing in this excitement for a game, but also making it purposeful and making it, you know, like you said, you've got all ATLs right there working side by side. And then you're talking about transdisciplinary learning with bringing in art and bringing in math and bringing in geometry, like into one aspect. And I was that working on a course right now about transdisciplinary learning, I might be putting this in the program. I'll put your names on it, but thank you so much for sharing that. Nico. Oh,
and music in Minecraft, really interesting and really easy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I knew exactly. Yeah. Yes, it is.
They especially compositions.
Yes. Yes, I know. I get scared because I don't know if I have the self-management skills to make sure I'm focused on Minecraft because I just love building on it. Like to make it sure it's purposeful, I don't know if I could do it. So it makes me a little nervous.
And that's why I said, have someone else run it first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense now. So Nico, where can people find you if they want to connect with you, if they want to continue learning with you, and especially if they want to read your blog?
Well, so my blog for is nicolumen.com. So that's my first name, my last name.com. That's where you can find me always. But to interact with me, Twitter. And it's PYP with Nico. that is the place where I also have an Instagram that I it's professional and not professional. So it's more like you can, it's Instagram is more kind of like a window into what Nico is doing right now. And so during holiday time, it is my skiing pictures. Nice. And if you are really hardcore, I only want to connect on a professional level, then my Instagram is not your place. Because it will have beautiful pictures of me snowboarding. However, if you want to see what I'm doing in the classroom, I also post that there.
And all of those links will be in the show notes down below for your YouTube channels, your blog, your Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and all that fun jazz. Nico, we ask all guests here on the Recess Duty the same question at the end of every episode. What do you remember about recess growing up?
My favorite time of the day.
As it is for many.
Basically, one thing where I feel that, so I grew up in Scandinavia, in Finland. And going to school in Finland, and you've heard about the magnificent PISA results and everything. Mm-hmm. I can attest to that. It is because of the recess. 45 minutes of learning was always followed by 15 minutes of break, rain or shine or winter. We always had a break to go outside, fresh air, adjust ourselves, come back inside and be ready for the next lesson. And this went from grade one all the way to grade nine. So this, for me, it was a time to, and most of the times, inner city schools less, but I was in the suburbia, so those it was better. In my first school, we had a small forest adjacent to the school, and we played in the forest.
Wow!
And so we were knights, we were Knights Templar, we were having. You know, we built fortresses, we had snowball fights, and it was all done within the limits of good judgment.
Fair enough. I always think back of what I would used to do in the recess and the playground, and I just remember probably being told, get down from there more often than not, because I like to climb. And
yes.
I would climb things that were not supposed to be climbed. So, yeah, it's always a fun. And now as a teacher, I tell the same things. We should be up there.
As a learning designer, I think, well, okay, how can we design that so we can climb?
There you go. Thank you, Nico, for coming to this week's episode of Recess Duty. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our next episode. I'm Levi Allison, and I hope you have a great day of learning, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our recess duty.